delusion has covered everything so that we don't know the truth of things as they really are. He says, and in the beginning, we use right understanding in the sense of information, things we've heard and read about, theory on the practice, and we use our own ability to think and reason and apply these two kinds of knowledge to the practice of meditation, and we study our experience. And he says, when a real insight arises, he says, so when a real insight or understanding arises, he says, in those moments of understanding, there is liberation. So liberation is not separate from insight. It's moments of freedom from delusion. So in the beginning, you start to know things that you didn't know before when you meditate. So when we start knowing things that we didn't know before, we become free of the non-knowing that was like holding us before or whatever. This is difficult to explain what an insight is. When you truly understand what is as it is, that's insight. Yeah? He says, do you understand, for example, do you understand impermanence? It's easier to talk about something if he understands like what you know.
The mind has experienced some moments seeing clearly phenomena don't last.
He says, and when you saw that phenomena don't last, did you just see that or did you understand that?
I understood
it. Now and do you feel that from that you now always feel you understand that?
I feel I understand it at one level, but I don't continually experience
it. Level to come on nale da me a mye lu lu ro ai atwe
jo ai chi ma nale de chi ma blue khan sa lut lat le lu myaw le lu ma khan sa.
He says, in the moment that you did understand it, or in moments that you understand it, does that make you feel some sense of freedom?
Yes.
He says, so that's it, that answers your question. He says, so in when you're not understanding, in moments that you're not understanding, he says you're not free because the delusion is covering the mind.
Moha shila, moha lut la. The tea tare chima, yam a pitachima. The tea vetare, the bomb about the chima, moha shila machila.
တတိရှိတိုင်းမော
တတိထားတဲ့အချိန်တတိတတိပဲရှိတဲ့အချိန်မှာမောကရှိတယ်လားမရှိ
ရှိလားမရှိဘူးလား
အဲမေးခွန်း question
yes so he asks you another question when you're being aware or paying attention does just the act of being aware or paying attention in that moment he says is there delusion or no delusionHe says, in every moment of awareness, he says, if wisdom is present, then that delusion is not present. Then that delusion is not present. But if there's no wisdom present, he says, delusion is still present, even in the awareness. So just awareness alone doesn't mean that wisdom is already present.But if wisdom is weak, he says, then delusion is certainly present. He says, you take just somebody who's not practiced before and you ask him to pay attention to the things that are happening.He says, would he have any insight? Would any insight be present? Any wisdom be present in that?
Not likely.
Not likely. That's why he says we need to check for ourselves. We're paying attention to things, but we need to check us to see whether in those moments there is any wisdom present or not.We need to recognize for ourselves. He says that even levels of understanding differ. He says when the wisdom is weak, maybe it sees one perspective. If the wisdom is stronger, it can see two opposing perspectives. If it's even stronger, it can see multiple perspectives.Depending on the wisdom.
Okay.
Can you be observing wisdom?
Nyango shu nai la re. Yes.
Sayad has talked about awareness and as the working mind, and then.Vijnana as the knowing mind.
Yes.
He's talked quite a lot about the role of awareness and the working mind. Could he talk a little about the function in our practice of the knowing mind? How do we work with
it? Tu a, ti le sei ne chi le sei lu pyo lu. Tu a, u zhe a mye pyo yin chi le sei a chang pyo re. Dame, ti le sei ko wo, a thu mu re ma tong lu ya la re.
Ya, wo ti wo ti ya ma. Ti ya ma.
ဒါမဲ့တုံးလို့မရအောင
်သူကရှိပြီးသားရှိပြီးသားတုံးရမှာတုံးရမှာကြည့်တဲ့စိတ်ကိုတုံးရ
ဟီ says the vijnana or the consciousness is the mind that arises together with the object and is only used in the practice in that you can be aware of it but you can't use it because that happens of its own nature with every contact and or you know experienceThe consciousness is happening. The contacts and the consciousnesses are always arising, but it's only if this working mind is present that it will notice that these things are happening. But and he says to remember that it's not only the consciousness that is working. He says all the other aggregates together are working simultaneously.
အဲ့ချိန်မှာဥစဉ်တရားမထုတ်တရားလည်းအမထုတ်တတ်တယ်ဥစဉ်အဲ့ချိန်မှာလောဘဒေါသလည်းအရင်အကြည့်နေတယ်နောက်ဆုံးကုန်ကုန်ပြောမူးတော်မူးနေတယ်ပေါ့အဲ့ချိန်တော့အဲ့မဲ့အခုစိတ်တတိတဉဏ်နဲ့အားကောင်းတဲ့အချိန်ပြန်ပေါ်လာတဲ့အချိန်အဲ့ချိန်မှာဘယ်စိတ်နဲ့ဘယ်လိုသဘောထားနဲ့ဘာယူရချက်နဲ့ဘယ်လိုလှုပ်လိုက်တယ်ဆိုအကုန်လုံးရှင်းတယ
် Yeah
အဲ့ချိန်မှာတတိတောင်မရှိဘူ
း This is when he was younger and you know he was
kind of a bad boy. And, you know, there was a time he remembers now doing something. He was so dead drunk, he says, he was not aware of himself. He didn't know what he was doing, why he was doing nothing. He was just in that state. And now he says, you know, with meditation, his mind has recalled times like that. And now he can see that at that time he really was not aware of himself, but he can now see why he did those things, the state of mind he was in, the motivations, you know, that were, yeah, the attitudes he had. He says, and why is that? He says, at that time he had no awareness. Why does he remember now?
You're asking me?
Yeah.
I don't know, I wasn't there.
Okay.
Okay.
Because the mind was doing its own work. So Sanya did it, perception did its work of recognizing, memorizing and all that sort of thing, remembering and so on. And now, in the present moment, all the work of the mind at that time appears to him as a Dhamma object, as an object of mind. He said that's why, you know, you all have heard of people when their practice is going well and the mind is pretty calm and all, they remember states of what, like when they were little, that they didn't even remember, that they would not have been able to remember. He says one of the yogis he knew went over, crossed over to the previous life, going into the womb and then. Yeah? But not him, he said, just the yogi.
Is it sometimes helpful to tune into the vijnana? And if so, would you call that mindfulness of vijnana?
The cuddly, a winning over Ayun, you do yala, a tongue shila, lolo yala.
Yala, what object in the yuva? Diama, Kanangawa, lolo bong diama, winning lolo bong diama, pinya lolo bong diama, with an alolo bong diama. The car lolo bong diama.
Yes, as an object. You can take that as an object and explore it. He says it is necessary for us to explore it and understand the functions of each of these aggregates. How does consciousness work? How does perception work? How does feeling work? How does conditioning work?
Volition.
He says consciousness on its own is kind of like stupid. All it does is be conscious. It just, I don't know. It's conscious, that's
like,
it.
It's yeah. His job.
Doesn't do anything more. And the feeling aspect is also kind of like that. All it does is feel into it.
You know?
And perception also does that. It just recognizes everything, marks everything for
itself.
He says, why is it that when we see someone, and then we see them again, we kind of remember? Why do we remember?
Not because, you know,
the second time we see them.
I think because Sanya has sort of memory.
Yes, it's already done its work.
Yeah.
And whether you were aware of it or not, yeah, it would have done its work.
Though.
Sorry?
You always forget the name.
Well, na mem yem mi de. Yes, memory has its own peculiar kind of character. He says it will remember what it prefers to remember in strength, in stronger or weaker detail, and then there are things it's not interested in and won't remember very well. Yeah.
Is that awareness selective in what it remembers by the strength of the happening?
Huh? Awareness?
The awareness that's remembering.
That's like we're talking about perception, not awareness. He said he wasn't aware when he was drunk.
Okay, but it was perception that was remembering,
yes.
Not awareness.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, awareness on
remembering. Yeah, it's not because of awareness that he remembered. It's perception that did the remembering.
Chugging along.
Yeah, yeah. Where have all the yogis gone? He says, no yogis asking questions.
I think I heard Sayadaw say earlier that when defilement is in the mind and we're looking at an object, and then defilement goes out of the mind, the object changes, looks different.
Yeah.
Is that also the role of sanya? And so is sanya kind of an active element based on the level of defilement?
ตัวก็บอกเลยกูเสียก็บอกเลยเอ่อคิเสถะมาคิลิตาရှိရင်เนี่ยอายุจีดาเนี่ยคิเสถะมาคิลิตามရှိရင်อายุเมียนน่ะไม่ตู่ดาติญญาอလုံးหลุดตาไม่ตู่ลูกเพราะฉะนั้นเมียนน่ะปုံซาไม่ตู่เพราะฉะนั้นคิลิตาရှိရင်
is sanya always kind of interacting
With the
interactions different based on the defilement.
So he says the trick is we don't get rid of perception. We get rid of the vipalasa, the misperception, the defilement which makes it wrong. He says, so is it wrong to recognize it's a bird call? Yeah, but he says he's heard that people try to not recognize sound at all.
Okay. Sayadaw, I'd like to follow up on something I mentioned to you last week. The past two or three weeks have been a certain period of uncertainty in terms of some things that have happened in my life. And just before I came in here last week with Joseph, I had come to a sense of kind of like understanding about what was going on, and it seemed to me like I understood. I didn't feel confused anymore. And when I came here, just prior to your coming in and during the first questions, I had this kind of surge of just really strong emotion, feeling that the spiritual life was so important, I didn't want anything else but this, that sort of thing. And I had some questions for Sayadaw about that. It was kind of interesting what happened that night, because I don't remember feeling badly when I left here. I don't remember feeling anything in particular. But that night I had like an hours long dream that I can't remember the events in it. But it kept coming back. I mean, I got up once to go to the bathroom the other night and came back, and I was aware of what was going on. I told myself, okay, you need to know this. And just went back and kept on dreaming. And what it was a feeling of just, I don't remember the events. I just remember great, great fear, just enormous fear. And it was a fear of being completely stripped, completely naked, and just kind of out in the open in the middle of nothing. And with nowhere to turn, nothing to hang on to, nothing to rely on, everything, and kind of a feeling that I was responsible for this. I had put myself in this position. And even in the dream, I was aware that there wasn't anything wrong. In some ways, I had wanted this. It's just that I was so afraid of it, and I didn't know what to do with it. And the following day, it's just like, okay, well, the only way I knew to interpret was to say there's this enormous fear of letting go. And then it could be really clear to me what specific things I was afraid of letting go of. And that's just kind of what I've kind of lived in since, well, for the last week. And it's not been a bad week. It hasn't been just a blissful week or anything like that. It's just been, that's the way things are. I haven't gone back and I haven't tried to go into it any more deeply. I've just tried to go on doing what one does when one is in a situation like this. And I don't have these names like Vijnana or whatever to apply to any of this. And I just wanted to know from Sayadaw what he thinks is the best way for me to move.
စိတ်တော့အေးဝပြီ confusion တွေပါပြီမရှိဘူးလေဒါပေမဲ့ तू อ่ะဥစဉ်နဲ့ပြောတဲ့အခါမှာ तू อ่ะပြောနေတဲ့အခါမှာ तू ဘာမှပြဿနာရှိရလို့မခံစားဘူးတဲ့ဥစဉ်နဲ့မပြောခင်က
ဆမပြောခင်ကသူ emotion တွေတက်လာတော့တည်တယ်ဒါပေမဲ့ဦးစင်းနဲ့ပြောရတဲ့အချိန်မှာမအောင်ဖြစ်ဘူးသူကသူစိုးစိုးဝါဝါခံစားရတယ်လို့လဲသူသတိမထားမိဘူးဒါပေမဲ့ညကျတော့အိမ်မက်မက်တော့သူအယမ်းကြောက်တယ်တဲ့အိမ်မက်ထဲမှာသူဘာရီဖြစ်နေလဲမသိဘူးဒါပေမဲ့ဟိုဘလို့ကြောက်လဲဆိုတော့သူနောက်ပြီးဘလောက်ပြင်းထန်လဲဆိုတော့သူထပြီးတော့ရှူရှူပေါက်တာတော့ပြန်လာတဲ့အချိန်မှာအဲ့အိမ်မက်ဆက်မက်တယ်နောက်ပြီးသူကသူလည်းပြောတယ်ဒါတီးဖို့လိုတယ်ဆိုတော့အိမ်ထဲမှာကြောက်နေတယ်ဟိုသူ့မှာအဝိစာမရှိပဲနဲ့သူတကိုတီးတဲ့နေပြီးတော့ဘာမှမိခွေရမရှိတယ်လို့ပဲအဲ့လိုမျိုးခံစားမှုအဲ့လိုမျိုးကြောက်တာတဲ့အဲ့တော့မနေ့ကျတော့ तू ကဘလို့စဉ်းစားလဲဆိုတော့တခုပဲဖြစ်နိုင်တယ် तू ကဟိုလွတ်ရမှာကိုကြောက်တာဒါပေမဲ့ဘာကိုလွတ်ဖို့ကြောက်နေလဲဆိုတာလည်းကောင်းကောင်းမသိတော့ तू သိဖို့မစူးစမ်းအောင်သိဖို့မစူးစမ်းဘဲနဲ့ဒီတစ်ပတ် तू ဒီလိုပဲဆက်နေနေတယ်အရင်ကြီးကောင်းနေတာပျော်နေတာတော့မဟုတ်ဒါပေမဲ့စိုးစိုးဝါးဝါးကြီးလည်းမဟုတ်ဘူးလေအဲ့တော့သူ့ကဦးစင်ကိုမေးနေတယ်ဘလို့ဆက်သွားမလဲသူကဟိုဝိညာဉ်တွေဘာတွေစကလုံးနားမလဲဘူးလေဒါပေမဲ့သူကလုံးတင်းပြောတယ်ဟုတ်ပြော
ဒီဖြစ်တဲ့စိတ်ရတဘာပဲအမှန်နဲ့တိဖို့ပဲသူစိတ်ကစိတ်ကိုလိမ့်လာမယ်သူကလူအကြောင်းကျိုးရရှိတယ်ဘာကြောင့်ကြောက်တာလဲခံစားမှုကပါလေဒါလေးသိအောင်မထူ
း This is just keep exploring and learning to understand what it is that you're faced with and also like just being honest with yourself about the feelings that are there and also exploring what are feelings what is fear just without thinking about it but just being aware of it
သူကအရင်ကသူကခဏခဏပြောနော်ဒီအင်တာဗျူးတွေမှာသူခဏခဏပြောတယ်သူကသမထလုပ်ရှင်ညင်အောင်မလုပ်ဘူးညာသူပြန်အဲ့တော့သူမသွင်းခဲ့ဘူ
း
အဲ့ညင်အောင်လုပ်ရှင်ညင်အောင်လုပ်လဲအမှန်ကအဲ့လိုညင်အောင်လုပ်မဲ့အစားအသိရမှာလိလာတာကိုကြိုက်အဲ့ရင်ဆိုင်လိလာတာကိုကြိုက
် He remembers that you often spoke of in the previous interviews how you would often ask whether it was okay to calm the mind down Do you remember?Like whether there's anything wrong with doing samatha kind of meditation because it helps to calm the mind down.
Yes, yes,
yeah.
Yes.
And he says, in fact, he doesn't think that just calming the mind down alone, like if we always do that and that's the only like refuge, that's not very helpful. He really feels that you should explore a little more what the mind is, what feelings are, and you know, what they are, their nature. He says he would really like you to learn how to rely on wisdom rather than on concentration.
Okay, it's not like I rushed a concept. First of all, I don't try to get away from it, get concentrated to somehow figure something else, and I don't rely on concepts.
Right.
I did think that there was some... I sometimes felt like there was some wisdom in it, in the sense that I knew that this was exactly what I'd been asking for.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just having an experience of perhaps what it would be like. Or maybe I was free then, and I was entirely free. I don't mean free in the sense of enlightened. I mean, you know. But just in terms of feeling itself, explore it.Just stay with it right now, whatever I'm doing, just feel it. I mean, how do I feel it and not think and bring in concepts? And is that what he's talking about when he says just feel it, explore it, like fear, for instance?
Tu a mean it. Tu a yin wa tamatha lo myo lout da le tu a nyam ma pa ra raw mhou. Tu a taku yi de ma sai ni ra raw tain mhou lo tu pyo de. ဒါမဲ့ကြားရမှာဘာလဲမသိဘူးမျိုးပဲဒါမဲ့ဟိုအဓိကသူဥစဉ်ကစိတ်ကိုဟိုမှခံစားမှုကဘာလဲလို့သိခိုင်းတာခံစားမှုကဘာလဲလို့သိခိုင်းတာဘယ်လိုပြောတာလဲတဲ့
nature လို့တဘောတာ
ခံစားမှုကိုသိဖို့ကြိုးစားတာဒါ ਉਹ ပဲဖြစ်နေတာကိုကြည့်ပြီးတော့ဒါမဲ့အဲ့ဒါကိုကြည့်ပြီးတော့ဟိုမတွေးပဲနဲ့ concept မဝင်ပဲနဲ့ဘယ်လိုလို့ဖြစ်နိုင်လ
ဲ right view ထဲ right view ထဲမှာ wrong concept မလာဘူး
Yes.
ဒီအဓိကပြောနေအာထုတဲ့စိတ်မှာညံပါမယ်ဆိုတော့ဥဒ္ဒညာအနည်းဆုံးတော့ရှိရ
This is really when you choose to look at feeling to explore what it is you have to bring in the right view that this feeling is just a universal quality feeling is a is nature, you know. And he says, when he says you have to use wisdom in the practice, like rely on wisdom, he's talking about at least bottom line, we must use some theoretical wisdom, you know, some intellectual understanding. You know?
emotion ni phe bu ma chu san lu le ya ba le so lo ma kaung na emotion tu chao lo tamadi ne so phi phi tha
he says we need to learn to face emotions and not be afraid of them. He says we always want to avoid emotions because they feel bad and difficult to and seem difficult to deal with, and so we rely on concentration to avoid the difficult emotions we need to face. So he really has this question. He says, when we practice meditation, he says, do we practice meditation because we want to be happy or because we really want to understand nature?
I understand that's a very good question. That's what I don't know.
He says, you know, when our goal is happiness, he says there's bound to be some greed to be happy. And when our goal is happiness, he says, if there's happiness, there's bound to be unhappiness. He says, you know, when true understanding arises, he says that's when you see real happiness. Not a happy kind of happy, but
yeah,
it's not the kind of happiness that you need to indulge in or something. It's an understanding that gives you peace with things as they are. And he says, real happiness only comes when there's true understanding, when there's wisdom. Yeah.
I think if there was any happiness when I came to the point of understanding that I was now, it's kind of as if I came in here and somehow I got to the point.
You don't have to say anything. You don't have to say anything.
But he says to remember that. I mean, he says all these things, but he doesn't mean it personally.
No, I certainly understand that.
Yeah.
But just personally, I think if there was wisdom,
yeah,
it was just the fact that I really sensed that there was something that I had asked for. And I had been told kind of how to go into it. And so I could really say, I want to be free. I want this spiritual life more than anything else. And I really meant it from an emotional standpoint last Tuesday. Mm. And it's almost as like it was saying back to me, well, okay, this is what it would be like. Are you really prepared to face this fear about all of these many things and whatever it is? Mm. And it, you know... And that's a question that I'm just like asking myself, and I'm certain I haven't gone back. But I mean, is this just kind of like staying still and continuing to be interested and look and seeing how things happen? Is that what he means by letting the wisdom kind of come into play and do its own thing, you know, rather than by trying to make anything happen now?
ရှိတဘက်ကသူပြောတယ်သူဟိုတရားနဲ့နေခြင်းနဲ့ဆိုတော့သူတကယ်အဲ့ဒါစိတ်ပါလဲပါစိတ်အတွင်းကြကြနဲ့ပြောတာဒါပေမဲ့ဒီပိုင်းနဲ့စိတ်ကသူ့အဲ့စိတ်ကသူ့ကိုပြန်ပြောသလိုပဲနေတကယ်ဒီလိုမျိုးနေခြင်းဒီလိုခံစားရမယ်တယောက်ထဲတူဦးဒီဟိုဘယ်လိုခေါ်မလဲအင်္ဂလိပ်နဲ့ဆိုရင်ဟိုဘယ်လိုခေါ်မလဲထိလွယ်တဲ့နေရာရောက်တယ်လို့ဖြစ်မှာပေါ့သူအဲ့အိမ်မက်လေသူကြောက်တဲ့အိမ်မက်ဖြစ်တာသူတယောက်ထဲအဝေးစားမပါတယ်လို့ပါလို့အဲ့လိုမျိုးခံစားမှု
He says, the mind that presented you that story in your dream and the feeling that comes in the dream is really the part of your mind that feels that it has nothing to rely on. The part of your mind that feels that it really doesn't understand anything or hasn't anything that it feels it can rely on. Although that may not be true, it's just one part of the mind.
နောက်တော့သူဆက်ပြောတယ်အဲ့တော့ဦးစင်းကဆက်ပြီးဒီတိုင်းပဲလေးလာပါလို့ပြောတာကဟိုဒီတိုင်းပဲဖြစ်နေတာတွေကိုတတိလေးထားပြီးတော့ကြည့်ပြီးတော့ဟိုဘာမှကိုကလိုက်ပြီးတော့ဖြစ်အောင်မလုပ်ဖို့ဆိုတော့အဲ့ဒါကိုပြောတာ
haven't been practicing as long as many of the people here. And for me, I think of the Forest Refuge as the perfect place for me. There's wood here, and I love everything but the winter weather. But I am very curious about the idea of practicing overseas, and I'm wondering what, if any, would be the advantages to practicing, let's say, going on a long-term retreat in a place like Burma. Would it be recommended that I try that as an alternative to the Forest Refuge?
သူအထုတ်နေတာတခြားလူလောက်မကြသေးဘူးတဲ့ဒီမှာအထုတ်တာတော့ तू သိ comfortable ဖြစ်တယ်တဲ့ဒီမှာ तू ဆောင်းနှင်းအောင်တိတ်သဘောကျတယ်ဒါပေမဲ့ तू စိတ်ဝင်စားတယ်တဲ့ဟိုတခြားတိုင်းပြည်မှာသွားပြီးတော့အထုတ်တာဘလို့နေမလဲ तू မေးတယ်အကယ်၍ဥပမာ तू ဗမာပြည် तू အထုတ်တယ်ဆိုရင်ဘာ advantage ဆိုတာဘာပိုအကျိုးရှိမနိုင်မလဲပေါ့လေဥစဉ် तू ဟိုအဲ့လိုဗမာပြည်သွားဖို့အားပေးမလားပေါ့အားပေးလားပေါ့
ติ
มาอัธุตะ
โลเจนสิล่ะ
บาโลเจน
เตียติเจนสิสิยะเบตอดอยะ
This is if you have a true desire to understand the Dhamma it doesn't matter where you go
Yeah It's too hot there.
This is how I think we're going to
do
it. He says, but you get a good challenge. He said you have a good challenge to test your Dhamma. He said, you know, when it's too comfortable, people don't really practice.
It's never comfortable in your mind, though.
It's never comfortable in your mind, though. It's never comfortable in your mind, though. It's never comfortable in your mind, though.
Just like you. You can't even see it. You can't even see it. You can't even see it. You can't even see it.
Yeah.
You can't even see it. You can't even see it.
He says he certainly wouldn't advertise Burma because he says, everything is just not catered to the yogi, you know. Even on a material or an external level, he says, it's not also comfortable and perfect. But if you think, you know, I'd like to find out what it's like in all sorts of scenarios, he said, then come. You're up for that kind of challenge.
Edo, could you say something about working with pain in sitting meditation, especially if it goes on for a while and the mind gets tired?
Na ra o thai ne a kha ma shu ra a thu thu phit sit ka nyan ne na ra cha lai sit ka pe man la le kha myo but losing
losing ya sa ba lo pyo le so lo nyan ne sa na ra le chain ma na ra u sa pe ma chi ai paw ma sit ka ba lo sin sa le ba lo a myin shi le ba lo khan sa le ai ya le
Never shot. Was it my shot kind of? No,
okay.
He would say, like, as soon as a little bit of pain is noticed, he would say, start looking at how the mind is relating to it. Mm-hmm. How is the mind feeling towards? What sort of thoughts is it? Is it thinking towards it? How does it feel? Is the mind holding tension towards it? Does it have resistance towards it? And start exploring all that. And then he says, exploring all that, you just go on as long as you can. He says, once the mind starts to feel stressed by it, then he would say switch. Mm-hmm. Switch positions. Don't sit in a place and in a posture and sort of like torture yourself. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because once the mind is getting tired by this process, it means already that the samadhi is broken. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the samadhi is not.
Is a compassionate concern for the well-being of all sentient creatures
mm-hmm.
A part of the motivation, right motivation in the practice?
Compassion for all sentient beings. အာထုတ်ဖို့ရည်ရွယ်ချက်ထဲမှာ မှန်ကန်နဲ့ရည်ပဲချက်ထမှာတတ္တဝအားလုံးအတွက်ကရုဏာရှိတာပါလာတယ်အာထုတ်တဲ့ရည်ရွယ်ချက်ထမှာဘာကြောင့်အာထုတ်လဲအဲ့အာထုတ်တဲ့ရည်ရွယ်ချက်တော့မှန်ကန်နဲ့ရည်ရွယ်ချက်တစ်ခုကဟိုတတ္တဝအားလုံးကိုသနာတော်အဖြစ်ပေါ့
ဟိုကြီးတာဟိုမြင့်တာပေါ့ဘုရားဘုရားတွေဘုရားသူ့ပန်းတဲ့လူတွေမှဒီကထည့်လာပါဘုရားအတွက်ဖြစ်ချင်တဲ့စိတ်နဲ့သူအာထုတ်
Yeah, he's just practicing with compassion for all sentient beings is a right motivation, but it's a very high motivation. Mm-hmm. He says that's the kind of motivation that people who want to become Buddhas have.
Mm-hmm.
But there is one thing that's sure, he says, you know, if you're already helping yourself, like positive, this mind is becoming more wholesome, positive, and so on. He says, in many ways, it has a ripple effect. Like it affects many things positively. So you would already be helping. At least, if you change for the better, it will be changing those in your immediate life or surroundings for the you know it will be changing life for them for the better. Your family, friends, your social. He says, at least somebody who sees you will feel happy. At the very least. So you can put that in compassion if you think of it that way. He says, practicing for somebody else, yeah?
we've been talking about the desirability of being interested with what's going on in the mind.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting what's going on everywhere. And I have a couple of questions for myself, and I just wondered if you have any comments about them. The questions are, what is the character of those states that I find interesting, and what is the character of those states that I don't find interesting? I wonder if you have any comments on that.
What do you mean, character?
It seems to me there are things that I'm not interested in, but I don't know that they're issues, that's why I'm not interested in them. So they're buried. So there are things that I'm interested in, things that I'm interested in, I latch on to, and I work with. But unfortunately, that class of issues doesn't include all issues that I could usefully be thinking about. So there are things that are outside my realm of interest that I would like to see in my sphere of interest. And so my question is sort of purely formed around those issues.
So your question is like, why is the mind interested in some things and why is it not interested in some things?
Yes, that leads on to, well, how could I move to enlarging the scope of those issues that I'm interested in?
သူကဥစဉ်ကစိတ်ဝင်စားပါစိတ်ကိုကြည့်ပါလို့ပြောတော့စိတ်ကတော့နေရာတကာရောက်တာပဲလေဒါပေမဲ့သူပါတတိထာမင်းလည်းဆိုစိတ်ကတချို့ဟာတွေကိုတချို့အရာကိုစိတ်ဝင်စားတယ်တချို့အရာကိုစိတ်မဝင်စားဘူးသူမိကုံကအစကသူကဘယ်လိုမေးလဲဆိုတော့စိတ်ဝင်စားမှုအရာတွေကဘာစရိုက်လဲစိတ်ဝင်စားမှုအရာမဝင်စားတဲ့အရာဘာစရိုက်လဲဆိုတော့သူပြန်ရှင်းခိုင်းတော့သူပြောတယ်မဟုတ် तू ကတချို့ဟာတွေကို तू ကစိတ်ဝင်စားတယ်တချို့ဟာတွေကိုစိတ်ဝင်စားအောင်နော်ဒါပေမဲ့ तू ကသိကျင်တာဘာကြောင့်ဒီဟာတွေစိတ်ဝင်စားလဲနောက်တော့ကိုစိတ်ဝင်စားတဲ့အရာတွေမှာလည်းတကယ်တမ်းကိုတိတဲ့နဲ့တိထိုက်တဲ့ဟာတွေရှိတယ်ဒါတွေကိုသိရင်ကိုစိတ်ဝင်စားမှုထဲမှာပိုင်တကယ်တမ်းကိုအများကြီးအကျိုးရနိုင်တယ်ဒါပေမဲ့စိတ်ကမဝင်စားဘူးအဲ့တော့ तू ကသိကျင်တာဘာကြောင့်တချို့ဟာတွေကိုစိတ်ဝင်စားလဲဘာကြောင့်တချို့ဟာတွေစိတ်မဝင်စားဘူးလဲနောက်ပြီးတော့စိတ်ဝင်စားတဲ့ဟာတွေကိုယ့်အတွက်အသုံးချမဲ့ဟာတွေကိုစိတ်ဝင်စားမှုတွေကိုဘယ်လိုလုပ်ဖြစ်အောင်
ကိလေသာအားကောင်းရင်ကိလေသာအားကြီးရင်သူစိတ်ဝင်စားတဲ့အာလိုမျိုးတူကိုစိတ်ဝင်စား
။
ဉာဏ်အားကြီးတဲ့ဟာကြရင်သူအချိုးရှိမှဟောစိတ်ဝင်စား
။
ဒါပဲ
။ He says when the defilements are strong then the mind will take interest in those things that defilements are interested in. When wisdom is strong in the mind he says the mind will be interested in those things that are beneficial for the mind. That's all.
Oh. Sa atho ka la mi ya. Atho la a chi.
No.
Sa atho ka la mi.
But he says, I mean, it's not to despair. He says, this is just nature. We can't do anything. I mean, you can't stop that nature. You know, that's the way, the cause and effect kind of thing. Yeah, we just need to recognize what's really happening as it is. So he says, when we begin practice, in the beginning of practice, he says, how the mind is, it feels like practicing is tiring and difficult for the mind. And when the mind is not practicing, it feels like, oh, it's getting some relaxing time, it's getting some rest. But he says, once you've been practicing, trying to practice to gain momentum in the practice, if you've used all the information you have, you've, you know, decided that you're going to make a concerted effort and you try to keep it consistent, like moving consistently from day to day, and you keep doing that, you have all this support from people telling you, reading, all sort of thing, and it inspires you to keep going, and you gain some momentum in the practice, he said. Then, he says, when the practice has momentum, he says, when the practice is happening, there's a sense of ease. And then when you don't practice, you will see it gets messy in the mind. He says, and what's the difference between the two states? He says, in the beginning state, he says, delusion is very strong in the mind. And delusion feels, when it doesn't know anything and doesn't pay attention to anything, it's more relaxing. But when wisdom gets stronger, wisdom clearly sees, he says, that it, that state of delusion is not really actually useful for the mind, because it can see more. It also sees the good benefits that it's accrued from all that practice, and what it sees clearly now, it knows that it's better to be aware, to be wise, to be there. So he says, interest is completely therefore motivated by whatever is stronger in the mind. Which quality is stronger in the mind? But you can't say it's a person. It's nobody there.
I've been seeing more defilements. And today I was reading the pamphlet, and there's a section where it says, if I'm interacting with somebody and I start to feel resistance, I should look at my own mind to see what defilements are there, which was surprising enough. And as I thought about it, I certainly could, I mean, if I'm angry, I can see that I'm angry and that's a defilement and they might be responding to it. But that was what he's pointing at, is a much more subtle reaction from someone. And sometimes I have enough difficulty processing what I think is happening in my own mind. Well, I'm still processing in my own mind, aren't I? What I'm looking for is some way to... It's because I've got to just keep coming back to my own mind, right, to process the whatever defilement might exist or not exist. But he says to check it out with the other person.
I think checking out with the other person happens with blind spots, right? When you don't see your own...
Yes.
Yes.
So I might be saying something to somebody and I'm feeling they're resisting what I'm saying.
Right.
So... then I turn and look at my own mind and say, are there any defilements there?
Right.
Because that's what they're building their resistance to.
Towards. Right.
And then it says later to, if they're a good friend,
yes,
to ask them.
What it is that's setting it up.
What do you see in me that I'm doing?
Yes.
If I can't see it myself, because
right,
it's a blind spot.
Right.
Or to go to a teacher and yes, say, here's the situation.
Yes.
So this opened a whole new world to me. First of all, just to be thinking that I might be having a defilement and I'm projecting it out onto somebody. you know, that it's going towards someone. So I was wondering, is that in, like, in the Satipatthana Sutta where it says internally and externally, is that pointing at that? Where, you know, you have a defilement. I was holding on to the wall as internal to myself, and now there's a whole new field of seeing that they, I can be putting them out on other people in a way that I don't know. I don't know if there's a question in there.
There is a question there, but I think you're mixing up two things. One, one is where the person has a resistance towards you,
yes.
And the other way is where maybe there's nothing, the person is not projecting, with showing anything, but you're projecting your ideas onto them.
Yeah,
so that's two different
yes,
things.
You're right. Yes.
Okay. Tua, dilo mere, Walter yera dilo pareli. Tiaw yaw ka ko saka pyo yin ko ne ne tadi tha mi ya. Tua ko sik tu tat de lo ba lo tadi tha mi yin. Ko ba ki le, ko ma ba ki le da shi le lo pyan chi khai na. Na mro ko ma myin tat phu so yin, ai lu wa ta ngae chin so yin me lai. Nga ba lo lo ne ko sik tu si da le. Ho ko be ta khu khu ma chwan chin mu phit lo la. Ko lou da ta khu ko ba lo ni lo. Tu a me lo myaw so yin upama sia tiaw ko me dilo a chin ni shi de ko ma ta khu lo ni lo dilo myo shi la lo me lo ya lo me de a lo tu khak ka da a ti a san ji ta khu lo phit twa de tu a ko a twin ko chi lo ti de da mae a ko cha lo a pyin ga ho ko hman lo pyan pya de ha ko a pyan me bo a lo di lu wa ko nen nen ma chai de lo lo phit ko a da mae di ma na khu shi de ta khu a တကယ်ပဲကိုမကျွမ်းကျင်လို့အဲ့လူက reaction ရှိတာတမျိုးနောက်တစ်ခုကကို့မှာပြဿနာမရှိဘူးအဲ့လူကသူ့ဟာသူဖြစ်တာရှိတယ
်
အဲ့တော့နည်းနည်းအဲ့တော့ तू ဒါမဲ့ तू မိကောကပါလဲဆိုတော့ဒါကိုမြတ်စွာဘုရားအစ္စတတ်နဲ့ဗဟိတကိုရှုတာကိုဒီလိုပြောတာလားလို့ပြော
အမှန်ကကို့စိတ်ရဲ့တဘာဝကိုကြည့်ရင်ငါကတခဏခုနနောက်တခဏဟိုကပိုကောင်းတာ तू မြောက်အခုညီတောင်းတာ तू ကတကယ်
Right. He says in either situation, you know, whether we're projecting something, I mean, when we're projecting, of course, it's for us to work with ourselves, but in this situation where you feel like the person has a resistance towards you or something and you're wondering what it is about yourself that the person. And he says, you know, it only really works if that person is wise. If you ask someone who has no clue about themselves or, and they're just reacting, he says it's not helpful either.
Yeah.
So he says in the end, what's really good is learn to get to know yourself well. But if you ask a teacher, he says it might be more helpful because, you know, a teacher has, you know, who has more experience, more this thing, and you know, they're sincere. They truly want to help you and are not bought into, yeah. He says, and your question about inside and outside, he says, there can be many aspects of inside and outside. Two of them he's mentioned now. One is where if you really understand, for example, your own anger, you really understand that's anger and how it works. He says when somebody else is having a similar show, he says you can see that that is anger at work. That's called inside and outside. The other thing is, he says often what we are observing, the observed is considered the outside and the mind that is observing is considered the inside.
Just one little follow-up. When you said, talk to us, I don't really experience teachers having resistance to me.
Right.
In the right on in live time.
Yeah.
You know, so I'd be bringing a story, but I find more often myself having resistance to the teachers. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. All right. That's the question. Okay. Tobiore. Toro myamya chinga tu a sia tiao ko twa bro me me so yin ne. Sia ria tu paw ma resistance ma shi u. Tu lo a. Tu a ro ma khan sa au. Tu a ma khan sa au lo pyo ra.
Okay.
Sia tiao ko tu o saka pyo ra. Tu lo a ro pwin mwin lin lin be ho lak khan mi na thong ne tabor shi ya. Tu a ba twa so tu a resistance shi de lo myin ne.
Ko resistance ko myin wa adika.
Oh, it's good. He says you recognize your own resistance. That's important to recognize your own thing.
Yeah.
Good.
And he just wants to follow up on that question you asked about what the mind is interested in or not, and so on. He says he thinks it's already great that you're noticing all these things. You're noticing that the mind tends to be interested in some things, not in other things, and so on. And if you keep noticing these things, recognizing it, acknowledging it, and working with it, he says the mind will help you to see more and more into it. The mind might discover for itself its, you know, the reasons for this, that, and the other. And you mentioned right at the beginning of what you were saying, you said, Saito said to be interested in what's happening in the mind, and you said, oh, the mind is everywhere. You said something like that?
I said that.
Okay. Right. So, and this is helpful for everybody. He likes to point this out, where the way we use words to describe what's happening in the mind, he says often we use words like the mind has gone away, or the mind was far away, or the mind was everywhere, and the mind was, you know, doing things. And he says, but it gives an erroneous view to ourselves that the mind actually goes away. So it's like this mind goes away and this mind comes back as the same mind. Mm-hmm. But in fact, he says the mind doesn't go anywhere. Things just arise in the mind. So just so we remember that as information, that the mind only can arise, that's all, and go.
I heard Steve talk about the goodies, and I think I experienced one this week.
The goodies?
Goodies, is that it?
No. What goodies? What goodies?
Spiritual. Okay. For a good part of the day, I felt like there was no grasping, and so do you understand what I mean?
The goodies. Rewards of practice. What? Is that what you mean? The rewards of practice. Is that what you mean by goodies? Like you say, for a good part of the day, there's no grasping.
Pleasant rewards.
Sorry? Pleasant rewards.
Yeah, yeah. Pleasant
rewards.
Can you talk a little bit about that? And is it just a trick of the mind, and how tricky is the mind, etc.?
Steve Kapiore, who... He says, so when you experience this goodie, he says, didn't you experience it yourself? Did you experience it yourself?
Yeah.
And did you understand that this was a result of right practice? Did you understand that moment that the practice has led to this?
I figured that was
the way. Yeah. and did you imagine that state of mind? That state? Did you imagine it? Did you feel like right then it was a dream? Was it imagined?
No.
It
was real.
Right. So. No need to ask the question, he said. He says, you know, this is very important. We very often don't learn to recognize our own experiences for what they are. Like just recognizing this is how it is, this is how it is, this is how it is. Because we're so wrapped up in trying to just observe what's out there. He says we forget to look in the mind and say, oh yes, the mind is, you know, the mind is feeling this way and this is how it is now. he says we don't explore like the whole field. That's why we ask, that's why all these doubts, these questions come up. He says, if you see everything, you can be very clear yourself how it is. This is how it is now. This and clear. He says, so often he's seen yogis are so into what they are observing, and then being satisfied that, oh, you know, now I was able to observe well and so on. All their value is placed on the object and the manifestation of the object. He says they never learn to check the mind and recognize, oh, this is how the mind has been working, you know, consistently or so on, and that's why this is the result. You know, so to recognize the process of mind work. And he says the process of mind work is always happening, but we just don't turn back and notice it. So it goes unrecognized for the work it does and the results it brings you.
I think there's a feeling of, you know, I feel like a total beginner, and I think there's a feeling of panic about investigation, because if I spend time investigating, I'm going to miss the next awareness. But there's that feeling of, I mean, I'm not even up to defilements, really advanced. But just in the awareness, I mean, and watching the mind and relaxing the mind, I'm up to being very relaxed in the mind and seeing this. And then I do, in response to this, I do feel this sense of, I can't spend time investigating because I'm going to miss the birds twittering or my knee or something. So I know that's completely wrong view, but there is that. Just exactly what he's saying, actually. I'm so busy trying to observe and be brilliantly aware of not missing, and I guess there's a feeling of greed in the, I don't want to miss, I can't miss, I can't miss.
So the sense that I'm getting is that you're saying that if you don't notice all these external objects, you know, these physical things that you are aware, that you think you should be aware of, like the next bird twittering and so on, that this is awareness. And if you pay attention to your mind, that's not awareness?
It's not necessarily external, it's internal. I feel I don't have the equipment or know how to intelligently investigate, because it's a constant stream.
Right.
I mean, I know I'm not describing anything unique, you know, so say a feeling of sadness arises in the mind and I'm feeling sad and I start to investigate that, and right on top of that is another feeling of something else, or a memory, something, or a plan or whatever, right on top of it. So there's that feeling of not having the time to sit and think, oh, where's the defilement? Do you see?
So you're feeling like, because like experience after experience is presenting itself, if you investigate one particular experience, you'll miss the other experiences? Mm-hmm. Is that what you're trying to say?
Yes, and they tumble up.
Yes. Okay. Okay.
Do you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Error to a Tizia ya amyai phit ni raw to khu တခုတော့တော့စုံစမ်းမယ်ဆိုရင်ဥပမာ तू ဝင်းနေတယ်ဝင်းနေတာဘာကြောင့်လဲလို့သိဖို့လုံးမယ်ဆိုရင်ကျန်တာသိစရာတွေကဖြစ်နေပြီစိတ်ထဲမှာတခြားဟာတွေကဖြစ်နေပြီဒါကိုဟိုဟောက်စုံစမ်းမယ်ဆိုရင်ဟိုဟာကိုမသိမိတော့ဘူးပေါ့အ
ရေးကြီးတဲ့လောက်မှာပေါ့အရေးမကြီးတဲ့လွတ်ချနိုင်မှာပေါ့
He says well we do what's important he says let go of everything that's not important for the moment
Oh
ဟုတ်တယ
်လေအကုန်လုံးအကုန်လုံးဖြစ်ခဲ့တဲ့ဆင်းရဲမှာတို့အရင်ကအလုပ်လုပ်ရမှာဒီအရေးကြီး emotion ဖြစ်နေတဲ့
Right, he says only in moments of equanimity, then you want to be just be all open and all receptive. But he says if an emotion is happening, that's important right now. That's the issue that has to be settled, that has to be dealt with. So you should put all your energy to that and forget about the rest of the insignificant
objects.
He says if an emotion is in the mind, but you ignore the emotion or don't pay enough attention to it and you just kind of with the emotion in the background keep paying attention to everything that's there he says at some point that emotion will come in and give you a lot of trouble he says just like in this room he says if anybody was being irritating or something if one person was being difficult in this room then it would affect he says So you would have to take the troublemaker out so that, the rest of the people could have a discussion. Not you. But he says, so the function of awareness is to recognize everything that's happening in the room, that's happening in the mind. But then wisdom then decides that something when an important issue comes up, it recognizes that and decides it has to deal with that first. He says, if five people come and start speaking to you immediately, he says, who will you pay attention to first?
And wisdom, do I do this? Blue are you?
I'm not up to wisdom yet.
He said, but even in ordinary life, like if you had five people coming at you and talking to you, your wisdom would know who was the important person to pay attention to first,
yes.
Before you go on to the other people.
And that's you have. This is a whole new practice, not just for me, but for other people too. So. It is, with the noting thing, it was very soldier-like and regimented.
Yeah. noting.
And with this, it's so much wider.
Yes, yeah.
That it feels cluttered.
Yeah.
Show me the little Show me the
little bit.
He says, so go slowly.
Yes.
And investigate လုပ်တာလေ तू information တော်တော်များများရပြီ तू investigate လုပ်လို့ရပါမှတော့ तू အရင်ဆုံးသိအောင်ရင်စူးစမ်းဘာရှိလဲဘာဖြစ်လဲအရင်သိလာပြီးတော့မှဘာလုပ်အောင်ကောင်
း He says so you can sort of go slowly feel your way through the things that are happening now in the present moment wherever it is and sort of like gather enough information about what's happening give yourself that time until the mind feels that something is more important and then you can investigate that It's true, he says. It's true, he says. When it comes to the mind, it there's so much. It seems like chaos, and he can't show it to you, or demonstrate it to you. So it is a bit. That's why so much talking needs to be done. You need to talk about it from this angle, that angle, that. Yeah, he says. ဒီလက်ချောင်းပေးမပေး
ပေးပါလေနည်းနည်းပို့ပြီးတော့ပြောရတယ်ပေါ့အတွင်းကြကြပြောလူတိုင်းပြောရမှာ
Yeah he says at the center I mean he gives much more time to each individual yogi everybody has to like talk about what they're they're, you know, trying to do and so on. So he can sort of try to help each of them individually. Yeah. So it's important to know what's really going on in each mind. So if the yogi is open and real, then it's very helpful for him to try and help. Otherwise, he only gets like a superficial idea of what the yogi is doing, and he doesn't really know how to help. He says, so investigation, he says, is more helpful when the mind is calmer. He says, in the beginning, you learn kind of the mechanics of learning how to observe sensations, feelings, mental activities, and recognizing them, and learning how to be aware of them, he says. And when you learn to be aware of these things, he says, the mind, you know, because of the continuous awareness, the mind is calmer. He says, and when the mind is more stable, he says, then when something comes up, you can choose to investigate that.
Is that
but right in the beginning, he said it could be confusing.
Is that a result of this practice? I have total faith in what you say. I see the results. So is that... if one continues with these beginning stages, does there happen, is it like a aha moment of that's it, or is one looking for, because I mean you talk like, well, it's obvious, you just, and then wisdom, and that's the way I talk to people when I'm teaching them about something I know about, and it's like, can't you see? And it's just a different view. So if we continue with this basic foundation of being aware, being aware, being aware, and just in this, can we expect that of, oh, so that's it? I get it. I mean, it's happened so many times in practice, that aha moment.
Yeah.
But is that something also that comes and goes? Or can then one build on that knowledge and foundation that, well, one can rely on the fact that when one sits down the next time, you can sort of
start again at that level.
Yeah, yes.
So, Bure, di lo myo a tho yin ne ti chain chai ne tu wa di foundation di ha thong ne tadi tha tha thai ne de ta ni chai yot chit ji aha so ro tbo paw wa ma la de a lo tbo paw da le de tu wa yin a tho mu ma le di lo ta kha li aha phit de a chain ne phit pu de da ma tu wa ti yin na di lo myo a chain ne ri phit da le tu ro le la lai twa lai pe la ma ho yin ta khu ya bi so yin di a sin ga ni tap pwalu ya de po bro min ne asin ya ma ho yin le ho de ke na le wa yin ne ho tu de ke raw ma pyo di lo de che na le wa yin ne upama ku a amye ti de ho time mi so ra ne ai asin ai law na le bro ai ya ni set twa me lo ai lo myo
ai ya ga understanding a thu de daw chao a thu de mon a paw ma mu di de understanding level de belaw na le na le belaw tu a thain na le
He says, really, it depends on the level of understanding and the level of practice. How consistently are you practicing? That makes a big difference. He says, in the beginning, when we just start practicing, it's like we're using a lot of awareness, we're building this foundation, and once in a while,
knowledge is not enough.
Yeah. And we don't have any real understanding of our own. We use like information to help us to feed into the practice, to learn how to practice. And he says, little bits of ahas come, like you said. And he says, these ahas come and go. Yeah. And he says, so long as you're practicing, he says, you'll maintain that level of understanding. But in the beginning, when it's still like we're trying to build on the foundation of awareness and the little bits of understanding are coming, he says, if you stop practicing or you practice sometimes and don't practice sometimes, that level of understanding won't grow. We'll just kind of circle around these levels of understanding, and we don't get very much more skillful at the practice. And the reason is because when we don't practice, delusion starts growing again. The moment we're not practicing, delusion is gaining ground again. So and he says, even if you've understood a lot, if you don't practice for a long time, delusion starts to cloud all the things that we thought we understood before. Hmm? He says, but if we're consistent, we keep at it, we're persistent and keep going, he says, at some point, all these understandings will have been maintained for so long, like you're allowing the understanding to be renewed over and over and over again, refreshed and refreshed. Mm-hmm. He says, then the understanding is so persistent that it starts to work together with the awareness. And when this happens, he says, when they're working together, they start to grow to another level of understanding. Yeah? And when they get to another level of understanding, there's a bigger kind of understanding that's going to come now. And these bigger understandings have a bigger life of their own. They have more power. They're not dependent so much on the awareness. And when those kind of understandings come, he says, those understandings are always there. And he says, awareness is like a sideman at that time. It's always present, because for wisdom to be present, awareness must always be present. But when those wisdoms, when those wisdoms are always present, because they have this life of their own, then the awareness is always feeding it, and then understanding just goes, it just flowers from growth to growth. It's like businessmen. He says when they first start getting into business, they don't really know the ropes. You know, they struggle, they find out things, they struggle to get a network going and to get a flow going. But, once they've got into the flow and they've made it, he says, they just look at the situation, they know what to do. They know everybody, everything. They even know how much they'll make. He says, at that point, they don't have to look at the nitty-gritty anymore. They've, gone through that. They know it in detail already.
But, it's very interesting, because I've worked in the art business for many years, and in the beginning, if someone brought in, say, a Chinese pot, I'd have to go and look it up in the book and look up the dates and get it all right. Yeah. And then eventually they could bring it in, like a Tang, 700 to 1,000 or something. But I mean, I just knew just like that.
That's
so
right.
I can relate it to that.
To the both of you, I know how to walk out there. To see the lilam, Tiana. Do the other she how to see the lilam. The other got cool. You can.
I saw your picture.
Wow. And then this is the umma bang the baro se to sao chi lam ro da be kick up. Now the cool one I chat tan ti le. Ah da khon ya zu wa ro baro
ko lo.
That's skill, he says, and how skill happens, how skill comes about is from lots and lots of contact. Always contact with this subject, over and over and over again. Then you don't need to do anything. The mind already understands. He says, it can be that practice is so, can get so easy that even if you're not practicing, it's practicing.
I understand that if one is in a spiritual community, and I also understand that this gap, I mean, this thing that happens
spiritual
when,
community?
Well, if you're in a retreat or you're around Dharma friends a lot.
Doing business.
But that's what I'm about to ask him about how you do it, because, I mean, what is, I think, so difficult for me, and I'm sure it must be for a lot of other people, is keeping up that continuity in modern society. Because the minute you go out,
many are going to be that. The attention, 哎，我先把那那先别来，把它挂了，啊，等先别挂了。哇，你这个地名，别别来他，这个别来路呀。
He said, to answer your question, yesterday somebody in the staff also mentioned something like this. The person had asked, he says, when he's alone, he finds it easy to be noticing himself. It's easy to be with himself and recognize everything he's doing. The mind is pretty calm and so on. But once he's with his friends and, you know, they're having fun and all, he says it's difficult to have this awareness. And the teacher pointed out to him that the only difference between the situations is attention. In one, the attention is inwards. In the other, the attention is all out. All outwards.
Bring everything back regardless
of what it is. Not everything. Not everything. Do I a con logo a terapian to yam la?
Attention, either lay than a hope lay than a tab. Hope 100% lay, even medit. Even 100% lay, I feel medit.
So he says, the attention is like this. He says, if you put it all inside, you can't interact with the outside. If you put it all outside, you don't know yourself. So you're not practicing Dharma. So he says, the trick is to learn how to do a balanced in-out simultaneous, you know, attention. And that is individual to each person. What works for them. He says, even in now, he says, we can check this out. He says, for example, when we watch thoughts, you know, thinking is going in through the mind. He says, when you look at a thought, that does it disappear? Does it stop immediately? Or can you watch a thought and be aware while the thought is going on and know that you're watching the thought?
Yes, but here, I mean, it's just a totally different thing when you're out there and it's like you're being grabbed into something, pulled into something. In my world, at least,
He says, and why do you allow yourself to be subject? He says, nobody is really sucking us in. He says, this mind wants to be sucked in. He says, between the other person and me, he says, who is more important to everybody?
To everybody?
Yeah, like for everybody, who's more important? The other person or me? Me, right? Yeah. So nobody's trying to suck somebody else in. But he says, what happens is, we find it important to pay attention outside. Because we think that's important for survival.
Yeah, important to develop the neighbor.
If this was important, he says, if the quality of your mind is really important to you, he said you would pay attention to it. You would take care of all
this.
Yes. So no matter what you do, you're always looking to see what mind am I doing this with? What state of mind am I doing this
with?
He says, is it important to relate to someone, or talk to someone, or think of someone, or is the mind important? Or to take care of
people? Well, the mind certainly comes first. You might be able to take care of somebody, but you can't do it well.
Right, so you have to take care of this before that can happen. He says that's why a samatha style practice is not helpful to learning this. He says because he used to do that too. He says he would have so much energy and concentration. He says if he looked at a thought, it would stop dead. You know, because the power of the mind is so strong, he looks at a thought, it just stops. He says the mind
is a learning process,
but it's not a learning process, and you also can't use that in life because you know it's kind of too strong on one side.
Too persistent from all directions.
So you can't sort of like let something flow on its own and just be aware of it as it goes by. He says only when you can just let something go and you're also there with it, but you don't lose awareness. He says then you can learn about those things.
Well, actually, can you also become entertaining about to the challenge of this and see what awful defilements could be coming at you if you thought about it that way? I mean, really, if you know, that's where the knowledge and wisdom comes into play, right? If you're keeping that store that you perhaps store knowledge and wisdom.
Yeah. Do you have an able to? And all that again, I'm just saying, I'm counting now. But as Rokwa, the whole thing, the tar broke, the pit, the rest, the rest,
he
said, yes, it's a lot of fun. He said, very interesting. He says, for example, understanding impermanence. He says, is it because we look at something and it disappears that we understand is impermanent, or is it because it has come and gone on its own and you just happen to notice it came and went, and that's why you understand impermanence? And does every time we see something come and disappear, does it mean we understand impermanence?
That's it, yeah.
Just because we see something arise and disappear,
Obviously not, because I mean, it's, you know, 60 years, I've seen plenty of things come.
He says, you know, in the understanding of he says that's why in the understanding of like something like impermanence, he says if it's because I watched it and it disappeared, he says there's never a true understanding of impermanence because the idea is more like I did it. Mm-hmm. You know,
but it has to be seen with the nature, that's the way things are, whatever they are.
Yeah. He says just when we are always present with things as they come and go, and one, you know, sometimes something passes through and then suddenly the mind understands, oh, this is the nature of things. He says there's a yogi who related how he'd always been watching things come and go and come and go, but nothing happened and nothing changed in the mind. See things arising and disappearing, but the mind didn't change. But he said one day he just, as usual, was watching things come and go, and that particular just one coming in, and suddenly it hit the mind really strong. And he says he saw it in a way that he could never have understood it ever. He could not have imagined that it could be understood in this way. He says so when there's a real insight, it's a shock. It's amazing. And if the understanding is really deep, he says you never forget it. Your whole life, you won't forget. And you would have, he said, you would never have. Could never have imagined it in your entire life, when it's real insight. And even this is not a very high insight, he says. It's just a very normal, ordinary vipassana insight.
All that aside, it sounds like he had a very interesting life when he was younger. Sounds like he had a very interesting life when he was younger. When Saito talks about his experience when he was, you know, getting into a fight, he's drinking and all that stuff. It sounds like it must have been very interesting.
He says a lot of suffering. It wasn't interesting. It was kind of dukkha. He says it was later that it became really interesting.
I have to concede that something that you've been saying in the little book and all along is actually true, and that is that I've been too much effort in my practice. The evidence has always been there, but I've never been able to see it. So I saw it, and I've actually been starting to sit without putting any effort into it at all. And, you know, there's still continuity of awareness. So now what do you suggest I do with that? I still feel, I guess, a little uncomfortable just saying I'm never going to put any effort into practice again.
ပြောပြောရဲဦးစစ်စာအုပ်ထဲမှာရေးထားတာတခုကိုသူအခုဝင်ခံရမယ်တဲ့ဟိုဟိုသူ shop ပြရမယ်ပေါ့သူယုံရမယ်တဲ့ဟိုတကယ်တမ်းသူ့ရဲ့ဟိုဘယ်လိုခေါ်မလဲတက်တည်ရအများကြီးဒါပေမဲ့ तू ကမမြင်ခဲ့တာတဲ့အခုမြင်သွားပြီတဲ့နည်းနည်းမြင်လာတော့ तू ကထိုင်တဲ့အချိန်မှာ तू စိုင်းကြည့်တယ်ဘာမှမလုပ်ဖဲမဲ့နေကြည့်တာ तू ကသူတတိထားနေတယ်တဲ့ဒါပေမဲ့တဲ့ဒါပေမဲ့အခုထိသူ့စိတ်ထဲမှာစဉ်းစားတယ
်
လုံးဝမဟုတ်လုံးရမယ်မဟုတ်လုံးဝမအားထုတ်မှုမထက်ပဲနဲ့အားထုတ်တာကိုဆက်လွတ်ထားလို့မဖြစ်ဘူးထင်တယ်တဲ့
အဲ
့ဒါလေးထိမ့်ဟာ Yes, sister, it's true. You can't just let the practice go and not do anything at all. It's not quite like that. He says what you need to do is maintain the way that the practice is going now.
So if you would have to just... တချင်နောက်မလဲဦးသင်တို့ပြောနေတဲ့ဟို attitude တွေပါရတယ်ကိုရီးယားတယောက်သူဒီ6လပြည့်6လမှ6လကြာအားထုတ
်လာ6လကြာနေပြီ
6လကြာပြီမှဒီတဘောတကယ်တဘောပေါ့လေ
Yeah he says many of the things that you read you know
what he's written တင်းမယုံခံ
He says takes time to really understand and they can be understood over and over there are people who've told him that you know they never understood things like what he meant by right attitude and stuff and 6 months later practicing continuously at the center they finally say oh now you know I understand this much more deeply so it can
teaching မယုံနဲ့မလို့ယုံမလို့
so don't believe it he said just keep exploring
okay
ယုံခဲ့တာမဟုတ်ဘူ
း he's not asking anyone to believe it
Well, it's okay. I never believed.
Yeah, yeah, you don't believe that. That's good, he said. That's good.
I don't
believe
that.
He says, that sort of person, when they really know, it's like you can't tell them not to believe, you know? When they really know. He says he's met all these atheists who come to the center, you know, to practice. He says, and you know why they're atheists? He says, because they think.
Like
that's wisdom. Yeah. So when they put that together with Satipatthana and practice, he says, oh, great. Yeah, because they don't just want to believe. So the moment they look, they're really looking, they're investigating because they want to know what it is. They want to know for themselves. Then they really see it for what it is. He says, if we believe, then the veil of belief also colors what we see.
I have a question about investigating, because it seems that when I stop in the practice and look at anger or rejection or something, the analytical mind starts to want to think its way through this thing and unravel it. Which I know isn't the right thing to do. I just wonder what is involved really in investigation. Are we just putting awareness on it and watching it and feeling it closely?
Mm-hmm. Investigation လုပ်တာသူတစ်ခါလေးရပ်ပြီးတော့တစ်ခု investigate လုပ်မယ်ဆိုရင်တူးစစ်ကအမြဲဟို analyze လုပ်တဲ့ဘက်ကိုရောက်တယ်ဒါပေမဲ့သူသိတယ်ဒီလိုလုပ်ရတာမဟုတ
်
ဟိုစဉ်းစားပြီးတော့အဖြေရှားတာမဟုတ
် Yes
ဒါပေမဲ့investigate လုပ်တယ်ဆိုတော့တကယ်ဘာလဲတဲ့ကိုကကြည့်ပြီးတော့ပဲစောင့်ပြီးတော့ဘာတွေလဲလို့ရှင်းနေရမှာ right it's just a sort of observing things to just to see the whole picture that's unfolding
scientist တဘောတယောက်ကသူမေးတော့မေးတယ်သူသိချင်လို့မေးလိုက်ပြီမေးကုန်လို့သူသိချင်တော့ဖြေရှားပြီသူကြည့်တော့မှာ
like a scientist he says they will have a question you know like you know what is the nature of this for example And he says, but after the question is the hypothesis or whatever has been formulated, he says, then all he does is observe. You know, he just looks at a lot of things to...
Yeah.
there are artists in this room, he believes. He says, so when the artist considers their art, they see a picture, they want to draw or something, he says, the mind does a lot of work. It figures out exactly how it's going to do it, how it's going to express this. And the mind is doing all that work. It's the same in meditation. You have a question, but after that, the mind figures things out, as you just observed.
To Jerry or Bob, what he's saying about projecting onto other people, but the whole field of people projecting onto you and taking feelings or emotions from them and knowing the difference of what is originating from oneself and what one is taking in from other people, how to know that difference. Am I clear enough?
Yeah, so you're asking,
how do I know what feelings or emotions or conclusions are originating from me?
Yeah.
And what I'm taking in from
what is influenced by other people?
Yeah,
somebody else's.
From them.
Yeah.
But I think it's my own.
Tuwa dilo me re phya. Tu the bwa blo le so tu ma dilo shi re le. Ta chu khan sa mu wa ko khan sa mu. Ko wa dilo khan sa re dilo twe re dilo sin sa re. Nga ha lo yu sa re no. Na ro ta cha lu wa atwe kho shi lo do da phit lo re ba re. Ko sait blo khom le. Atwin cha cha pin ko sait ka pyaung ne. U ma chao lo ho wa lo me lo tin na da mae เจ้าตึกเสกโกยုံပြီးတော့ဟိုဒီဟာကိုလှုပ်ချင်တယ်လို့ထင်တယ်မဟုတ်ရင်ဟိုလူကဟိုလူအထင်ကြီးလို့ဒီဟာဒါပေမဲ့ကိုပင်ကိုအောက်မှာကိုကကိုသဘောအရဆိုကိုတစ်ခုလုံးမယ်ဟိုတခြားလူတက်ရောက်မှုကြောင့်ကိုကတခြားဟာလှုပ်တယ်ဆိုပါဆိုဒါပေမဲ့ကိုကတော့တတိမထမိတော့ငါလှုပ်ချင်တယ်လို့ပဲထင်တယ်တကယ်တမ်းတခြားလူရဲ့တက်ရောက်မှုကြောင့်ကိုကအပြောင်းလဲဖြစ်သွားတယ်အဲ့တော့သူကမေးတယ်ဘယ်လိုလို up a little bit.
He
says if you watch your mind all the time, it will be clear. When you know every thought, every feeling that comes up as you interact and so on, then you will see how they're feeding into each other.
And so I'll know what's coming to me from outside.
What's influenced. What's influenced and what's not. That's why he says to always investigate when we see or hear, what's the reaction. When we see, you know, whenever we have contact, what's the reaction, what's the response.
Another thing, when Jim was asking questions, he was saying, like, that's the mind that feels without support. That's the mind that feels something. He was like characterizing the mind.
Yes.
Like there are different parts of the mind. Or is he meaning that's the mind at that moment?
Tua guna di di luyu piora tua ho. Chapter de se, miko ya mashi de se, so uzi ya piora. โอ้ดีอ่ะดีไส้ก็ยုံနေတာပေါ့မိခိုရာမရှိဘူးဒီအစိတ်ပိုင်းဟိုစိတ်တစ်ခုလုံးမဟုတ်ဒါပေမဲ့ဒီစိတ်ကဒီစိတ်ကယုံနေတယ်ဆိုတော့ဦးဇင်ကပြောချင်တာအဲ့ဒီချိန်မှာပဲယုံနေတာလားမဟုတ်ရင်စိတ်မှာဇယိုက်ရှိလို့ဟိုသူဇယိုက်တစ်စိတ်ပိုင်းကအဲ့လိုမျိုးယုံတတ်တာလားအဲ့လိုမျိုးဘယ်လိုသူစိတ်ကမိခိုရာမရှိဘူးလို့ခံစားရတယ်အဲ့ဒီဟာကဒီအချိန်မှာပဲဒီဒီတစ်စိတ်ကပဲအဲ့လိုမျိုးခံစားအမှွင့်ဒီဒီတလောမှာဒီစိတ်ကခံစားရတာလားမှွင့်စိတ်မှာဇယိုက်အရာ तू ကဟိုအမြဲ
ဆိုတော့ပဲလားခဏခဏဖြစ်နေလို့ဇယိုက်ဖြစ်သွ
ား He says ဒီလိုဖြစ်လဲဘယ်လိုပြောရမလဲအဲ့တော့သဘောကတကယ်တမ်းတစ်ခဏတစ်ခဏဖြစ်တာစိတ်တခုလုံးဖြစ်သွားနိုင်တယ
်စိတ်ကိုဒီကိုယူလိုက
်လောမုန
်စိတ်ကိုဒီလိုယူလိုက်မြင့်တခုလုံးယူလိုက်
အ
ဲ့ဒါမှ function နေအများကြီးရေအများကြီးရှိ
တ
ယ်ဒါကြောင့်စိတ်လို့ဒီလိုပြောလိုက်တာဟုတ်လားမြင့်ထဲမှာရေတွေအများကြီးရှိတယ်စိတ်လို့ပဲပြောတာအဲ့မှာ many function မှာအများကြီး
He says the mind, he says, think of it like a river. And there's many things in the river. There's many drops of water and all sorts of other things that's in the water. But he says, and that's mine. There's a stream of mind going, and the mind has many things in it. Yeah.
It's both.
It's both, yeah.
Do we bring in a different intent to our walking practice as to any other part of our practice?
A different intent?
Yes. Is there any different intent brought to the walking part of our meditation as compared to the other aspects of
our meditation? He says, he wants to know what different intent. He says he has only one question when he asks people to be aware. Why are we being aware?
Yeah, I've been led to believe that when I'm doing my walking practice, I'm specifically trying to take notice of the body. So I'm trying to bring attention specifically during that period to my body. And so that's where I'm coming from with this question, which I found a particularly unrewarding pastime.
ตัวบาเปล่าเลยสรุปตัวน้าเลยท่าราจีญ่าจีญ่าเฉิงอ่ะคานาโกเมียๆชุ่นไหนบ่อเฉิงไปท่าราだแม้ตัวบลูคันซาเลยสรุปดีอลนลงอ่ะโหตลอดโจเน่เกษะหลุตัวหลุรู้ตัวหลุอ่ะเอลุမျိုးลงอ่ะโจเน่แก่เกษะหลุตัวเปล่าอกลุ้มถ่ายอยู่ He says you can look at anything when you're walking. You can be aware of anything.
I'm not walking in the yam. I tell my you na sing na blue lo lo na the yam. Ba lu sing na blue line shot na. Ba yue chin na line shot. Line shot na blue. Da di phi phi ko phi paw daw.
He says if I can remember that whole chain. He says first just recognize walking is happening. Then how is the mind and body interacting when it's walking? And then what state of mind are you walking with? And then why are you walking? And then who is walking? So slowly you can step up the investigation slowly.
But also I gather a prime requirement at any stage is lightness.
That may be a simple PP po po wali.
Yes.
Oh, definitely.
Po ba ma. Di tamari do po po.
If it's right awareness, concentration, wisdom, he says always light.
Yeah.
Because it's a wholesome mind. At the center, you know, yogis walk back and forth like in the hall or maybe even on the grounds, and he goes to them sometimes and goes up to them and asks them, why are you walking back and forth? Why do you turn around? He asks them. But they don't.
I've been living with the desire to ask that for 10 years.
Anyhow, men's in their same machine. But he said, when he asked a 13-year-old girl, she answered the question. She said, if this pillow wasn't in front of me, I would keep walking. She said, because of blocking me, I turn around. He says, once we have some samadhi, he says, we must really turn towards wisdom. He's done all that samadhi stuff too, you know, building up. He says, but we must turn towards samadhi. He says,
wisdom.
Thank you for correcting me. He says he's really seen that in this life the only thing that can be relied upon is wisdom. And the meaning of life is in wisdom.
What are we living for?
He says samadhi is can't be used, he says it's boring. He says samadhi is supposed to be a support for wisdom to arise. We should use it. But our objective should be wisdom. He said it really took him many years of practice before he realized that living with samadhi was not enough.
Does it follow because it's boring, not useful?
No. He says it's because he saw there was something better than samadhi alone.
Once again, as I understand it, Saito says, what Saito is saying is that the full measure necessary to do what we're trying to do, attain wisdom, can be gained through the insight practice, as opposed to the samadhi practice.
Yeah, using Pyojin, the nyan lo, nyan ya bo, nyan apie ya bo, the vipassana ne ya re, ho tamatha ne me ya.
Yes, sir.
Okay.